to worship and adore the Lord our God.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, a message from God's Word brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message in its entirety again, to download it, or to choose from a variety of other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, log on to WGCRpreaching.net.
John chapter 11, and I want to give you what the Lord has assigned us to for tonight. I'll probably say nothing about this text that you don't already know. But I thought about it, though, as those young men were singing about, you know, about Lazarus being dead and how they needed help from the Lord. And I'm glad that there's no situation that gets too impossible for the Lord. As a matter of fact, God said that there's nothing impossible with me. He asked Abraham and he asked Sarah. And he also asked the same question to Jeremiah. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And of course the answer to that question is, well, no. In the ability of God, there's nothing impossible with him. But in the mind of you and I, we wonder sometimes. And I think a lot of times our wondering and our doubting keeps him from really doing what he has the ability to do. And what a great God that he is. I'm glad I'm saved tonight and serving such a God. Notice, if you will, in verse number 1 of John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now here the Bible says that the town of Bethany was Martha and Mary's. Now I don't think they owned the town, but since they belonged to the one that owns everything, I guess it was theirs. Verse number 2 says, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now I love that scripture, that verse right there, because you find that it is in parentheses. And Mary has not yet anointed the Lord or wiped his feet with her hair. So the Holy Ghost knows that she's going to do that. Amen. That's very important that we understand that, because we're going to deal with her tonight. Verse number 3 says, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. I'll leave off reading there tonight. I'm very interested in verse number 6, where when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, it seemed like that he wasn't a bit upset about it. And matter of fact, it seemed as though he wasn't even that concerned about it. Matter of fact, when the runner who Mary and Martha sent, we don't know who the runner is, because it's a type of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad he always knows where Jesus is. Mary and Martha may not have the ability to get to him, but thank God there is one that they know that knows where he is. And so this unnamed runner comes to the Lord. You'll find that he's over beyond Jordan in the end of chapter 10. And that runner seeks the Lord out, finds him, and immediately says to him, the first thing he says to him is, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, a lot of folk, that is a paradox and a contrast, because they say, if you're really loved by the Lord, you won't get sick. But I want to tell you that's not so, because here's a man that is loved by the Lord, and yet we find him sick. But notice what the runner said to Jesus. He didn't say Lazarus. He didn't say the brother of Mary and Martha. He said, he whom thou lovest is sick. Then the Bible says in verse number 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But then when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he still abode 2 days in the same place where he was. I would dare say that that runner maybe pleaded with him and said, sir, please, you need to come. He was in a bad way when I left. Jesus didn't respond. Maybe the runner hung around an extra day and said, please, I need you to come. They need you to come. Please don't send me back to that little family and tell them that you're not coming. Don't make me go back and tell them that I told you, but you didn't respond. They plainly told me to tell you that you loved them. And surely, if you loved them, you would respond immediately to them. But he did not. I want to use this text tonight and why God assigned this, only he knows. But you could be in a situation and the devil is telling you that God really doesn't love you as much as he does others. But I'm telling you, that God knows exactly what's going on. He knows the need of your heart. He understands where you are. And I can tell you, in his time, he will maneuver in your direction. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this subject. When love runs late. Let's ask God to help us, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your goodness. Thank you for the privilege of gathering tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing by the congregation. These young men, Lord, I sensed the touch of God on their singing tonight. And I pray, God, that you would bless them in a great way. I would ask you now, Lord, that you would arrange the atmosphere as you would so design. God, you know the need of every heart tonight. You know those, Lord, that's just received disturbing news in the past little while. God, you know others and their conditions. And Lord, maybe you haven't moved in that direction yet. I pray, God, that you would give them a strength to have patience and to wait upon you. I'm glad that there's nothing impossible with you. And God, I'm glad that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And it's according to the power which worketh in us. God, would you please have your way, deal in hearts, save the unsaved, and strengthen the people of God. And for whatever is accomplished, you will get all glory for it. For it's in Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray, amen. I want to say tonight that we find the Lord Jesus over here beyond Jordan. That's where the runner finds the Lord. And Bethany, we'll say Bethany is right here in this vicinity. And then over here is where we need to get the Lord. Over to where Lazarus is laying in the tomb. Now, they are thinking that they need Lazarus to get to Bethany, or Jesus to get to Bethany. But you see, Jesus knows that he's not going to get to Bethany before Lazarus dies. And so we need to get him over here to where Lazarus is already dead. I want to say, do we not need to get the Lord from where he is tonight to our deadness? Amen. I'm glad he's able to resurrect it. I'm glad he's able to bring life. I'm telling you, we're dead in these days and we need life to come to the graveyard. Now, we need to get him from over here to over here. As I'm studying this, I see in the text here three times where the Lord is delayed. Zap, we begin to look at this tonight. Maybe somewhere in your life, maybe the Holy Ghost will point out why, or could be the reason he hasn't continued on in our direction to help us. Let's look first of all tonight. I want to say that the first delay was caused by the Savior himself. Praise God, he intentionally, on purpose, did not respond as soon as he got the request. Let me say to you, friend, I'm glad that sometimes in my prayer, God responds immediately, and I'm glad that he does. But Brother Kenneth, in other times there's been things that I've been asking him for nearly 35 years now, and it's not yet come to pass. Well, I want to tell you, it doesn't mean that he's not going to do it. I'm telling you, he's a great God, and he's a God that operates concerning his own time and his own ability. He is a great God. Amen. And if you give up on him, then you have no other hope. Let me say that again. If you give up on Jesus helping you in your condition, you've given up on your only hope. I've never said that before. I'm going to say it again. If you give up, and some of you tonight may be on the very verge of saying, what's the use? Maybe you've already said in your mind, what's the use? But if you give up on God, you give up on the only hope you've got. Hallelujah. I'm glad that there's nothing impossible with him. He's a great God. We got a God who can. He can. He can. This first delay was caused by the Savior himself. Bible said that he abode 2 days still. I'm interested in that word, still. He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. That word still just doesn't mean that he was still there. That word still means he wasn't moving while he was there. He abode 2 days still. That's the hardest thing for me to get a hold of, is when God is still. But you know what he said in Psalm 46:11? Be still and know that I am God. It's hard for me to operate when God is still. And it's even harder for me to be still while he's being still. Amen. You know, we have a lot of times we sing the songs and we preach about how we need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But if you'll study there in Exodus chapter number 14, God did not tell Moses to tell the children of Israel to stand still. Moses told them to stand still. Moses cries to God, and God said to Moses, why are you crying to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Study that text. I think it's chapter 15. But study that text. He said, you tell them to go forward. And when it seemed impossible for them to go forward, they went forward. Hallelujah. But a lot of times we want to go forward when God says, be still and know that I am God. Hey, I'm trying to say to you tonight that we have a God who can, a God who's able. But if we will allow him to do it according to his will, it'll sure help us in our time that he's being still. He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now keep that in mind. I want to say that this first delay was caused by the Savior. And the reason that he delayed, number one, was to show forth the glory of God. You know what he said there in verse number 4? He said, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. One commentator I read, who was undoubtedly an atheist, he made this statement that Jesus lied. How could a man say that? But he said he told an untruth because Lazarus did die. No, not concerning the Lord. He did not die because there's no child of God that believes in him ever dies. We just go to sleep. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm telling you, Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but this sickness is for the glory of God. Oh, how we need to get a hold of that, that sometimes the negatives that come in our lives is so that God can receive glory and the manifested glory of God could be given. He said, I believe he delayed to show forth the glory of God. Woo! Let's just think about this a minute. Now, I don't believe that Mary and Martha allowed Lazarus to lay there and die without getting some kind of physical attention for him. Maybe the same physicians that the woman with the issue of blood saw. Maybe they come by and saw Lazarus. If you'll study it, it was all in the same vicinity. I don't think they just let him lay there and die without doctors trying to get him help. And I'm not against doctors' help. But I do say that when they can't, we know the one who can. Lazarus, he's very sick, but the sicker he gets, the more glory is anticipated. And then when he draws his last breath, that's the stage set for God to get all the glory. Because you see, listen to me very carefully. If Jesus had gotten to Bethany before Lazarus died and had have touched him and raised him up, he wouldn't have got any glory for that. You know what the folk would have said? Boy, isn't it amazing that Jesus came and touched him just about the time that drugs began to work, that the doctors prescribed over in Jerusalem, and they came down here to Bethany to the druggist, and they've mixed up a potion. Boy, don't we have good doctors in Jerusalem, and don't we have good druggists down here in Bethany? Not Jesus. Hey, Jesus wasn't about to share no glory with anybody. You know why he delayed? He's awaiting on Lazarus to die. Hallelujah. He's waiting on the situation to get out of the hands of individuals. He's waiting till all hope is gone except for in him. And then he shows up and raises him from the dead. You know why he was being still? Waiting on Lazarus to be still. You know why he was being still? You know why he abode 2 days still? Because Lazarus was still moving. But he's going to be still till Lazarus is still. Oh my. I hope you're understanding what I'm preaching. See, a lot of times we put our hands into everything and we try to fix everything, and then we get all mad and upset when we can't fix it. Well, you know what the Lord's doing? He's waiting until every hand is stopped, every hand is still, and the situation is dead, it's still, there's nothing now can be done, and he shows up, and guess what? Guess who gets the glory? No doctors in Jerusalem. No druggist in Bethany. You know who gets the glory? God gets all of the glory. And God may be still concerning your situation until you're still. And you take your hands off. And you say, I can't fix it, Lord. I've done everything I can and my situation's worse. You know what he's saying? That's what I was awaiting on anyway. As long as you've got your hand in it, as long as you're trying to fix it, I can't. But whenever you realize you can't, I can. Hallelujah. That same God is our God. Some of y'all got kids that's gone. You taught them right, you pray for them. But you do everything that you can to satisfy them. Let me say this right here. You know why the prodigal son came home? He got hungry. You know why he came home? Daddy didn't finance the far country for him. Grandpa didn't slip behind Daddy's back and send him 100 or 200 along to keep him down there. You need to listen. Sometimes love is hard love. Well, I love them too much for them to get hungry. If you'll be still concerning the situation, then the God who's still now, as long as you're dealing with it, probably won't mess with it. But whenever you say, I've cut it off, my hands are tied, I can't fix this, oh God, would you do something with it? Guess what? If he knows he's going to get all of the glory for it, there's no telling what he'll do in your situation. Man, this thing's took another turn tonight. I'm telling you, God knows where you are. And so many times we're trying to fix our situation when the more we mess in it, the worse it gets. And God will be still until we're still. So Lazarus dies. So we see that the first delay, that he delayed was for the glory of God. Then I believe he delayed to share the truth of God. You see, when Jesus got there, he said to Martha, I'm the resurrection. Now, if Lazarus had just been sick, that wouldn't have meant nothing to Martha. But you see, when the situation got so bad and out of her hands, that when Jesus said, I'm the resurrection, the truth then meant something. God, you may be praying for revival in your church. You may be praying for revival in this area. And everywhere I go, I'm praying somewhere I'll get to where people want God more than they want anything else. And that's when real revival fires is going to burn. And I'm telling you, you may be praying for revival, but you see, you don't appreciate the truth of God. And the word of God don't mean that much to you. But I'm telling you, God may let it get deader than what it is. And then when the truth is shared, you will appreciate it then. Well, that's right. You know what the problem is in most independent, fundamental, premillennial, Bible-believing, devil-hating Baptist churches? You know what the big problem is? A lot of times that the old, old story is the old, old story. The man of God mounts the pulpit. The first thing we do is open our Bible, check our watch, settle down, wondering when it's going to be over. And it can say, open your Bibles to John 3:16, and it cuts you off immediately because you know everything about it. And the old, old story has become the old, old story. But you know how God revived those two Emmaus disciples? He didn't give them nothing new. He made the old new. They said, did not our hearts burn within us while he spake to us by the way? You know what he was telling them? He was preaching to them himself in the Old Testament. And they had a copy of the Old Testament, but the Old Testament had become the Old Testament. But I'm telling you, when God sent revival to their soul, the old began to burn in their heart, and it was brand new again. Praise God. We need the old to be made new. And he will not show until he can show forth the glory of God and then share the truth of God. Thirdly, he delayed to strengthen their faith in God. In other words, he made the situation get as bad as it had ever got. And then he showed up. Why? So that when he fixed it, the next time they hit a little bump in the road, they wouldn't be grumbling and griping and complaining. See, when God lets it get as dead as it was there and then brings it back to life, the next time it gets a little wheezy, you don't jump to conclusion. You say, we got a God that did the impossible. This little deal ain't much for him. I'm telling you, if you can get like that, what a blessing it'll be in your life. We got a big God. He delayed to seal the power of God. I've done dealt with that. He delayed, listen to me carefully, he delayed to silence the accusers of God. You can go ahead and read, and some of them over there said, if he had gotten here before he died, couldn't this man that opened the eyes of the blind surely got here while Lazarus was sick? You know what they're saying? They're wondering and doubting. Do you know what God does a lot of times? He lets our situation get so bad and then fixes it just to shut the devil's mouth. If you'll study the book of Job, Job's 42 chapters long. Chapter 1 and chapter 2, there's an individual in there that's just yak, 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 yak. And that's the devil. He's a running his mouth. He's a doing everything he can. He's wanting at somebody. So God turns him loose on Job. And the book of Job's 42 chapters long. And there's a lot of other people saying a lot of other things for 40 chapters. But guess what? The devil ain't saying nothing else. You know why? Because Job never took his eyes off of the Lord. His situation got bad, but he never did quit believing God. Sure, he got down a time or two, but he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. He said, I know he can. And I'm telling you, we got a God. We've got a God that wants to just shut the devil's mouth, and he may use you to do it. Okay, point number one. The first delay was caused by the Savior. But now, 2 days are over, and he's heading to Bethany. Now, it's a pretty good ways to Bethany. Because by the time Jesus gets there, Lazarus just hadn't been dead 4 days. Lazarus has been in the grave 4 days. The wake and the watch was over. Lazarus had been inside the tomb 4 days. There's a reason for that. Jesus waited because in that day, they would even suggest that after the third day, that the spirit could return and a man could be brought back after the third day. But after the fourth day, there was no hope. The man was dead. They'd never see him again. Corruption sets in after the third day. And rottenness had already started in on Lazarus. The old skin worms had already started to work. That's why Jesus showed up after he was in the grave 4 days. Woo! He wanted to be sure the devil couldn't say another word about what was going on there. Hey, your situation, you may feel like it's completely out of hope. Don't give up on God. You give up on God and you give up on the only hope for help that you have. I sense God here tonight. Notice with me now, Jesus is coming. He's making his way toward Bethany. I don't think he's running. I don't think he called a horse. I think he's just casually making his way to Bethany. And he gets there. And I can see it now. There's a runner that is out. There's somebody out there. And all of a sudden they see a little band of men coming up the road. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says, well, look at verse 18. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now look at verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Now keep that in mind. Somebody run in to the little house where the funeral procedures is over. Graveyard dead. Somebody runs in the house and says, Jesus is coming. Martha jumps up and heads out to him. But look at that next statement in verse 20. Look at it carefully. What does it say? But Mary, look at it. But Mary sat still in the house. You know what I see here? I could see Martha as somebody comes and says, Jesus is here. Martha jumps up and says, come on, Mary, let's go out and see him.
Mary says, I'm not going. He didn't come when we sent for him. Now I'm going to sit still because he was still. And Mary doesn't respond then. Jesus and Martha have a good long conversation. But look at verse 30. The Bible says, but Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Does your Bible say that? Was in that place where Martha met him. Now, get the picture. Jesus was over here. He's over his delay. He's headed to Bethany. He gets to Bethany, and he came on purpose to get Lazarus up. That's his intentions of coming. But he gets just to the city limits of Bethany, because the Bible said he had not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. And see, when Martha gets up and runs out to Jesus, Jesus stops. And the whole time he and Martha are conversing, and the whole time they're having that conversation, he's not making one step further toward Lazarus. Why? Because he's not going to go get Lazarus up as long as Sister Mary is in the house mad at him. That's why she didn't get up and come out there. She's upset with him that he didn't come when they sent for him. Oh, listen to me carefully right here. There's no telling what God could do for you if you'd get over being mad at him. He may be right at the city limits of your Bethany. He may be wanting to revive your heart, but he's not going to move one inch in your direction until you get over being mad at him. The first delay was caused by the Savior. The second delay was caused by the sister. Miss Mary, she has no idea that sitting in the house has got Jesus stopped right outside town. She has no idea that because in her heart she's been upset with him. She has no idea that as long as she's upset with him, that he is not going to fix her problem. Matter of fact, she thinks her problem can't be fixed. But oh, I'm telling you, friend, hey, listen to what I'm saying. There's a God in heaven. If you will just get over being upset with him, he may move into your Bethany. I'm a plowing deep tonight. I know when the Holy Ghost sinks the plow. You would never say that you was mad at God. You're too spiritual for that. You would never tell your husband. You would never tell your children. You would never tell your pastor. You would never tell your wife. You would never put it in the vehicle of words. But somewhere back there, God could have fixed your situation and he didn't. God, you prayed and you lived right and you paid your tithes. You went to church and you're faithful. And you saw others that wasn't near as close to God as you've been in your life, and God took care of their situation, and your situation hadn't been taken care of. Your situation has gotten worse and worse, and your situation, God didn't show up. with for you when you thought he should. So now you're sitting in the house angry with God. Wouldn't it be amazing if God was right there on the other side of Caney River? Wouldn't it be amazing if he was right there and he wanted to move in this tabernacle and sinners be saved and saints of God get revived? Wouldn't it be amazing if somebody in the house was mad at him that kept him from moving in our direction? Woo! You see, her feelings toward the master has been hurt. She'd never say she was mad. If you ask Mary why she wasn't rejoicing, why she wasn't happy, you ask her what it is, she'd say, oh, just several things, just going through a bad time. She would never say, well, I'm just mad at Jesus. She'd never say it, but see, the Lord knows the heart. You don't have to put it in words for him to know what's going on in our soul. Oh, Lord. I was preaching way up upstate North Carolina. This has been years ago. And I was preaching a particular message, and it was on a homecoming morning. I'll never forget this. And this has been, goodness, this has been 17, 18 years ago. And it was a homecoming morning. And the house was packed and jammed full. There was people there. I'm telling you, and we started revival that morning. And homecoming morning, and I deviated kind of like I did last night and kind of run this rabbit about Mary being mad at God. And while I was preaching, there was a lady sitting back in the back on this side, sitting back there, and she started screaming out loud. When you can scream louder than I can preach with a mic, you're screaming pretty loud. And she came running down that aisle. And she was screaming so loud, and she came running so that it took me by surprise. And I just kind of backed up a little. And she fell in the altar. And the pastor came and knelt, and a lot of the ladies came and knelt. Now, this is while I was preaching. And in a few minutes, it seemed like she kind of calmed down. And in a few minutes, she got up, went back to her seat. Other folk went back to their seat. We finished out that meeting, finished out that morning service, and went and had lunch. Came back that night, had two saved. And that meeting went through Friday night. And I forgot. My oldest daughter has got all the details. I forgot how many people were saved that week. I'm talking about sinners coming in from everywhere. I'm talking about the power of God. Yeah. People running to the altar while you're preaching, come into church to start service, and people getting saved in the altar while meeting, before meeting ever started. That's how it was. And I thought to myself, boy, I'm telling you, God's moved in this place. And on Friday night, it was kind of late getting out. Nobody wanted the meeting to close. I'd done put my old top coat on and had stepped out of the pulpit and was standing right there. And the pastor said, anybody got a word? Now, that lady hadn't said a word all week. She stood up. She was still in the same place. She stood up. When she stood up, she said, Pastor. Well, somehow or another, I recognized that voice. I turned around, and sure enough, it was that lady that came to the altar Sunday morning. She said, Pastor, she said, I've got to say something. She said, I didn't know until last Sunday that my problem was I was mad at God. She said, I didn't know it. She said, I was mad at him and didn't know it. And here's what she said. She said, God sent that Tennessee preacher up here and preached to me, and God let me see me like he sees me. And said, I realized I was mad at God. And she said, y'all know my boy Jimmy. Well, everybody went like this. Everybody knew Jimmy. And she said, you know how wicked Jimmy is. And they did that twice as much, so he must have been a pretty bad character. And she said, and church, you know how that I request prayer for in nearly every service. Yeah, they all shaking their heads. And she said, you know that he's the biggest drug dealer in the area. And they all dropped their heads. She said, I prayed and prayed, and this has been going on for years. And then she pointed across the aisle to another lady. And she said, called her my name. She said, Sister so-and-so. Said, you remember when your daughter was away? Well, I turned around and looked over there, and she was looking back there, and I saw who it was, and standing beside her was a beautiful young lady, about 23, 24 year old. And she said, you remember when your daughter was out and gone? And she said, yes. And she said, we prayed and said, your daughter got right. Your daughter got saved and said she's faithful and said I loved it. But just, you know what? She said, I kind of got angry at you. Yeah. Boy, now that's open confession. She said, I really got upset with you because I'm just as faithful as you are, and I think I love the Lord as much as you do. She said, your daughter got right. My situation's getting worse and worse. And she said, I got mad at God for bringing your daughter home. And she said, I've seen my spiritual condition go to the bottom. But she said, I went to that altar Sunday morning and I said, God, I can't stand myself like this. God, whether you ever save Jimmy or not, I don't ever want to be mad at you anymore. If you don't ever save him, I'm glad I'm saved. If you don't ever save him, I don't want to be mad at you. God, I can't stand me when I'm mad at you. And she said, God, forgive me for being mad at him Sunday. And she said, church, I want you to forgive me. She said, I don't want to be mad at nobody, especially God. And she said, church, pray that God will put that joy back in my soul again. Well, my family and I closed out. The church was rejoicing and praising God. And I closed out. My family and I left there and went to Immokalee, Florida. I'll never forget this. And we were gone 2 weeks in Florida. Well, we came in and we got home early on a Monday morning, about 4 o'clock on a Monday morning. And I went down through that before we had cell phone. I went down through the answering machine, and there's several messages and needing calls. And the very last one was that pastor. Brother Eddie, this is Pastor so-and-so, said, call me when you get in. Well, I was gracious to him, and I got in at 4, so I didn't call him when I got in. I waited till about 8 the next morning, and I called him. He said, Brother Eddie, he said, I couldn't hardly wait to tell you. He said, this morning when I was preaching, he said, about halfway through my message, said, and here's what he said. He said, you remember the woman that was mad at God? I said, yeah. He said, the back doors flew open and said, guess who come running down the aisle? I said, I bet it's Jimmy. He said, yeah. Said, Jimmy came running in, slid plumb under the communion table. And said, I never heard nobody cry out to God like he did. Get right with God, got up, and God had saved him. Said, preacher, we like to never got out of church on Sunday morning. And said, I didn't even get to preach tonight. And he said, I just wanted to tell you. He said, you know what happened? I said, yeah. I said, his mama got over being mad at God. And God went to the graveyard and got her Lazarus up. Hey, I'm trying to say to you, my friend, you're going to see right here that Jesus never did make another move toward Lazarus until Mary got her heart right with God. Ma'am, you've seen God answer prayers for other mamas, and He hadn't responded to you. You've seen God bring other youngins home to parents, and now you're still here. You love Him enough that you ain't going to quit church, but you're just mad at Him. You're just upset with Him. Preacher, you're faithful. You love God. You believe this King James Bible. You preach it. You're faithful. But you see a church over across the hill growing, and yours is going to the bottom. I don't know who I'm preaching to. I don't know you fellas. But yours, while they're gaining over there, you're losing over here. You would never say it, but somewhere in your heart you're saying, this ain't fair. God, this just ain't fair. And then you're saying, this just ain't right. And before you know it, and you may not even realize it, you're mad at God. And boy, it's hard to get God to move in your direction when you're mad at Him. Daddy, you was up for that job promotion. You had worked. Matter of fact, you've kind of got seniority rights. You pay your tithes. And you need that promotion and the extra money that is going to accumulate for you and your family. And just about the time you thought you were going to get it, some guy that you work with that ain't even saved, and he really don't even need the money. And when you go to church on Sunday, he goes to the lake on Sunday. When you go to church on Sunday, he goes to the mountain on Sunday. And he got your job promotion. And now you're said, God, you could have fixed that. I needed that, God. And it didn't happen. And it didn't happen. You may not even realize it, but you're mad at God. Because you see, you believe God's big enough to have taken care of it. And He didn't. Maybe that little baby didn't make it. Maybe that wife or that husband or that mom or that daddy, maybe they did go die. God could have fixed it, but He didn't. And way down in the recesses of your heart, you're just mad at God. Because He's really the only one you can get angry with, because nobody else could have fixed it but Him. Nobody else could have took care of it but Him. Sir, ma'am, maybe you just got news. But that illness is really rough. It could be detrimental in your life. I'm trying to obey the Holy Ghost. M- maybe that situation didn't turn out like it should. And you've had all of your faith and trust in God. But He didn't fix it. Somebody said, but preacher, you're preaching tonight that he got Lazarus up. I'm not preaching about the fact that he got Lazarus up. I'm preaching about the fact that he fixed Mary. I'm not so much interested in Lazarus getting out of the grave tonight. I'm interested in the next chapter where Mary's over there worshiping him. Oh, Lord. Hey, God may not fix your situation, but He can sure fix you. Notice this now, and I'm closing. I'm not going to give the last point because this is where God wanted us tonight. Notice, boy, I can tell you, there ain't much I know, but I know when the Holy Ghost has got His finger around somebody's heart, and I can assure you it's more than one or two, and I don't know. Look at the text. Martha and Jesus are talking. Jesus said, Martha, I'm the resurrection. Martha said, I know, Lord. I know that in the last day He's going to get up. I know that. And Jesus said, Martha, I'm not the resurrection in the future. I'm the resurrection now. And said, if you believe, I'm the resurrection now. And then she said, yes, Lord. She said in verse 27, I love this. Sometimes I preach a message on yes, Lord, agreeing with God. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which would come into the world. You know what she's saying? Lord, of whatever you say, I believe it. Oh, Lord. And when she had so said, look at verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Now, it don't record when Jesus said to Martha, and Jesus never has to ask questions to get answers. He said, Martha, where's Mary? Martha probably said, well, Lord, we did send for you in time for you to get here. And I tried to get Mary to come out here with me, but she's just pretty upset, Lord. She's still sitting in there on the couch. Now, here's what I love about this. Listen to me carefully here. Jesus could have very easily went to Mary. But He's not moving till Mary gets to Him. Did you hear what I said? He's not moving one inch to fix the situation till Mary comes to where He is. He says, Martha, would you go in there and tell Mary I sure would like to see her? I see the Bible said Martha goes in and she finds Mary secretly. I love that about that text. She didn't go in blabbering out in front of everybody. She goes over and says, Mary. Jesus said He sure would like to see you. Mary wasn't a typical Baptist because the Bible said she arose quickly. And she came to Him, and I see it in my mind's eye. She goes off down the front porch if they had one. She goes out that little walkway if they had one. And for 4 days she's been turning up to go to the cemetery to wallow that day in her problem. And there's a whole crowd of Jews going with her. But as she gets out there to the end of the walk, instead of going to wallow in her problem, she turns to the one that can take care of her problem. She turns and she heads to Jesus. And the Bible said that she fell at his feet. And she said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, our brother wouldn't have died. And the Bible said Jesus wept. Hallelujah. Jesus wept. Oh, there's a lot of stipulations and interpretations. I just believe he wept because Mary was a getting right. Hallelujah. He didn't want one dead in the grave and then one dead in the house. He wanted to get that one alive in the house so he could get that one out of the grave. And he was glad that Mary came out. And boy, when she fell at his feet, he said, where have you laid him? Jesus knew where he was at, but he wanted, come here a minute. He wanted Mary to get him by the hand and say, Lord, right over here is why I've been mad at you. Lord, right over here. Right behind that stone right there is why I got mad at you, Lord. And Lord, I'm sorry that I'm mad at you. And Jesus says, all right, boys, get the stone out of the way. Mary ain't mad no more, and I'm going to get Lazarus up. Hey, I'm trying to say to you that if you won't be mad at God, he can help you in your situation.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message once again in its entirety, for a free download of this message or a variety of any other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, you can visit The Preaching Channel at wgcrpreaching.net. If you don't have download capabilities, feel free to call and order a CD copy of today's message at 828-884-9427.